What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Man show with my good friend, my good brother G Grant Leonard, Queens, doing his thing at the Royals. G, I love you, man. You love you, man. I'm glad to have the show again, brother. How life over there in the Queen City, my good friend?
Everything's great, man. Summer is amazing. Players are back, so energized from that. But man, it's been a beautiful summer here. It's different concerts every Charlotte's, man, it's popping.
It is. Hey, it's the mini Atlanta, in my opinion, now.
I agree. It's like Buckhead 20 years ago.
Yes. It's not the same Buckhead no more.
No, it's not.
Not the same no more. Man, geez, crazy, man. You're going to your fifth year, man. Man, has it been a breeze for you, man? A blur already? It's going to year five, man.
I wish I could say it's a breeze. You know, the funny thing is someone asked me the other day, like, could you have drawn it up this way? And I was like, well, we actually kind of did. And the neat thing about it was, is like every team right now is so worried about this year, right? Because of the portal and everything. And we were able to kind of take a breath and say, look, we got 4 years to figure this out. And all we wanted to see was progress each year. And we did that. And it ended up spilling into us winning the league and going to the tournament. And so that was like the cherry on top. But the best part is, as we've seen our program just slowly, gradually get better and better. And so I wouldn't say it's a breeze, but it was one step in front of another and honestly kind of went to as planned. And so unique that we had a four-year runway. Not everyone gets that anymore. You remember you used to be able to do that. Coach gets hired, you got 4 years. You know, you got to get your players in, give them time. No one gets that anymore. So I was very fortunate that we got it.
No doubt, man. And the culture you've built, I mean, it's been consistent from day one. I remember being there at the tournament with you in Kennesaw when you was down, guys was just beat up because of that used being D1 to now, man, it's in talent you're bringing in, the guys you're able to recruit and be in there with because of what you built there, how you treat your players, how Queens treats your students, how the community embraces the Queens community. So let's talk about all those factors to from when we was just talking, we got hired at tournament at Kennesaw to now, man, winning in Jacksonville and going to the big dance, and Queens is on the map now.
You know, and that first year and what a learning experience that was, and we won 18 games, but we kind of limped into the end of the season, if that makes sense. And I knew right there that team was great, and we had some great players. But as a team, a total team, we weren't able to win an ASUN championship. We weren't there. And we weren't even really close because we couldn't sustain the pounding of a full Division One season. We didn't have the bodies and the depth. We just did not. And so, culturally, we didn't want to just gut it and redo the whole team. I don't think that's the right way to do things. That's not the right way to treat players. But we knew that we had a couple of years to, okay, like we got to build our positional size and we got to change our physical makeup. Because when we were in Division Two, we were able to wear teams down and we weren't able to do that. And so it was kind of systematic and took time. Last year was the first year. You know, 2 years ago we were close, but last year was the first year I thought we could wear teams down with the depth of our roster. And but it took some time and it took some losses. And each year we beat the number one team in our league, but we also lost some games I didn't think we should have lost. And so last year was the culmination of 3 years of learning lessons, but building the roster slowly over time.
And no doubt, judicious roster you have, man, is got a lot of redshirt sophomores, junior sophomores. It's about still having that zeal to coach young guys and show them to develop these young guys into players so they can go make money playing in Europe down the road. Being where their feet are right now, of course, but getting them to that point where they can go make money for years with their career after coming through your program and being trained the right way, been around guys in the NBA who you're around, who come through Queens and practice and show them how it's done.
Yeah, I think it's unique. And so I guess our philosophy is we want to have the most talent at the end of the year. And right now, I think the place where you can get talent above your level is high school kids because they're not getting recruited as much. And so I think this year, our freshman class, I think we have two or three kids who are well above our level talent-wise. They're just not experience-wise. And so with that, you gotta take freshmen and you gotta go with some quick lessons, to say the least. But they're talented and they have a lot of ability. And so our roster probably won't look like a lot of teams in the A-Sun. We'll have different positional size and length, along with skill and speed and physicality. We added a little bit this year. We've gone up in that level every year. But I'm gonna have to kind of wipe some noses and deal with some freshman boo-boos. But I like that part, that teaching part. And the guys that were in our program last year's freshmen, Jordan Watford and Isaiah Henry, they've both taken gigantic jumps. And you can see that. And they're more talented than a lot of players in our league because they were really talented freshmen. And so we're gonna keep doing that and we're gonna probably lose a couple games and the non-conference season. And I'm okay with that because it's what matters. What happens is what we do in the A-Sun.
No doubt. And G, well, I want to ask you about that. I saw where the UAC broke off and the A-Sun kind of stayed. So if you can explain to the listeners and myself kind of what's going on there so we can be fully engaged and on point with that, man.
Yeah, so the A-Sun, the WAC had this in the WAC was about to fall apart. So the A-Sun commissioner, Jeff Bacon, who's an unbelievable leader, saw an opportunity and he basically bought the WAC. And so the A-Sun conference also created they got the WAC. So we have two bids and they created the United Athletic Conference. And so it's two conferences that have like things. So and that consortium or joining of leagues is called the Unison. And it's the United and A-Sun together. But we have two separate leagues and two separate bids. So five teams from the A-Sun moved to the United and joined three teams from the WAC, Tarleton, Abilene, and Arlington. And then they added Little Rock from the OVC. And then five teams from the A-Sun, Austin Peay, Eastern Kentucky, North Alabama, West Georgia, and Central Arkansas. So the United now has nine teams. Well, that left seven teams in the A-Sun, and we added West Florida, so now eight teams. So there's 17 teams for two bids instead of 12 teams for one bid. So if you do the math, that's good for everyone. It's good for everyone. It's good for those teams in the WAC. who now still have a league. It's good for all the teams that whichever league they went to, because now they statistically have a better chance to go to the tournament. And now it's two conferences spanning more geography and more great cities in the South. And it just strengthens our league and our consortium together.
So do you all play like 16 games in the A-Sun and a few against the United too? Is that how it works, G?
It'll be 16 games in the United. It'll be 14 games in the A-Sun. So we'll play every team twice.
Okay.
And we're going to have four, some teams have five, but four crossover games. So our crossover games, we're going to play North Alabama and West Georgia on the road. And then EKU and Austin P are going to come play at Queens. And those games will happen before conference play starts in late December. And so excited about that because it's like opponents. And, our non-conference schedule will get released here shortly. We're going to play 26 like opponents, and then we're going to play six high major teams.
Good deal, man. And you're part of the marathon, Boise State Marathon. You're part of that. So talk about how fun that was last year and do it again, man.
Yeah, I mean, going to the tournament, what an amazing experience, right? Like March Madness and doing that, like it was a life-changing experience for our entire school. And our players all felt it, and March Madness and Selection Sunday and the media and all that. And so it was what a season. And so fortunate to be a part of that and to watch all of that. And I really thought that our non-conference schedule and playing all these really good teams we played last year, Virginia, Villanova, Arkansas, Auburn, and Wake Forest, prepared us for our conference season, in which we started off 7-0. And that laid the foundation for us being ready to win a championship. And so hoping that our schedule will do that again this year.
And G, you always promote from within, man. The DB's now associate head coach. Sean Evans, middle assistant coach, man. Talk about how important it is to elevate guys who are already within this program culture to higher positions to just prove that they put in the work, that they'll move up because their work will be valued even more.
It's so parallel to our culture with our players. You get here and you got to earn it. And as you earn it, you get more. And so guys come here and in lower staffer roles, like Sean was the director of player development, and he earned being an assistant coach. And DB got here when he actually got hired right when I got the job, but we were still technically a D2. He was a part-time assistant. Well, now he's the associate head coach, and he's earned that through 4 years. And our staff camaraderie and chemistry and culture is very similar to our teams, and like you want something, you got to earn it. And I think it all goes together. And for me, you get to see how hungry guys are. And the biggest thing is they build habits the Queens way, and they get to learn how we want to do things. And that's really important. I really believe that.
And G, like I saw on Instagram, you all had a bounce out the stigma event. And G, you probably know this, like my cousin, my favorite cousin, he's developing delayed, and my best friend has a developing delay issue as well. So for me, it warmed my heart because two people I'm very close to are in Special Olympics. And so goodbye point it was had those kids out there, the opportunity to enjoy basketball and be accepted and loved for those that time out there at the Curry Arena.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, bounce out the stigma, man. Mighty Mike does that event every year, and our guys get to volunteer and spend time with those young men and women that have autism and are trying to fight through that with basketball. And our biggest message to them is like, don't ever let anyone tell those kids they can't do something. And our players, we were told by so many people that we couldn't go to the tournament. Oh, you guys will, that'll take years, decade to do. Well, not if you put your mind to it, right? And so, I want those young men and women with autism to feel like they can accomplish a lot in life, whether it's through basketball or whatever medium they choose. And so getting to work with them, and we're partnering with Red Ventures on that. And Red Ventures is a local company that does unbelievable work in the community, and they're a tech company. But being able to partner with them and volunteer and help bounce out the stigma, it's a huge part of what we do at Queens. We build community through the lens of basketball, and we're part of this community, and we want to really pour into the youth of this community, and that's one part of it.
No doubt. And Gio, last real question I got for you, if I give you my entering questions for you. You got contract extension. I know you're not talking about yourself, man, but you extend it through 2031. How good is it to have your administration and your people in the community of Queens see the work you've put in and reward you that way and really show they believe in you and the culture you set here in Queens?
I mean, it's an amazing feeling to know that the administration here at Queens believes in what we do, and that they not only support you as a coach, but as an entire organization, and that they are behind you, that they want you here, that they continue to support you, and it gives you confidence in every decision you make. That we can make the right decision long term, that we don't have to take shortcuts and worry about the outcome today, that we can do the process right because they believe in what we're doing. And fortunate in 4 years of coaching, they've given me three extensions. How about that? And it just shows the support that we have here and that they really believe in our culture and our program and the decisions we make.
So, G, first question my intern wanted to ask you, G, was like, how do you and your staff go about helping student athletes who may have mental challenges and try to off the court and try to help them with that so they don't go off the deep end and lose their lives or something bad happens when they have mental issues? How do you and your staff go about helping young men on the team who have those issues?
Yeah, and you know, funniest thing is that you never know when it's going to hit, and you never know which player it's going to be, you know. And my biggest thing is each player is so unique in their own. Each player has their own individual struggles. They have their strengths, their weaknesses, and their own timing and their own experiences. And so it's not paint by numbers. You can't put everyone in the same box. You know, you got to meet each student where they're at individually. And you have to have a staff that really believes in that. Like, hey, just because I had success this way doesn't mean that's how they're going to do it. And so you have to meet each player where they're at individually, uniquely. You got to find how they're going to be best coached. You got to find what their struggles are and what their tipping points are, and you got to hopefully learn by from experience with each player. But it's very unique, and the one thing that's unique about Queens is it's smaller, you know, small school ever to make the tournament. But also with that, there's strength in being small because each player is going to have more attention, each student, and we're going to be able to reach them. And so, you know, you don't walk in your first class and have 500 students, you only got 20. But with that, we got to make sure that we hear every student's voice and that we meet them where they're at.
Second question I got for you, G, is how do you go about teaching one of your players about time management and the management of time correctly? Because they say as college students, they struggle having with their time managing it the right way.
You know, that's unique. I just had a student in here today and we were talking about that. And you know, there's a mentality change as you go up levels, and the players, or even if you're in your profession, the talent gets it's greater at each stop, right? So you got to learn not just like, okay, being on time. What does that mean? Well, so first people like, oh, you got to be on time. Well, I guess of course you should. That's respect of your time. But now you got to start to prepare to be a champion. So if you just show up when practice starts, you're not late. But are you preparing to win that practice? And the answer is no. Now, if you get here 25, 30 minutes early and you're warmed up and you've already gone to the training room, and then you've gotten 10, 15 minutes of you getting loose, and you had getting a routine, and you starting to attack practice like I'm gonna win practice today. I'm gonna be a champion. I'm worthy of being a champion today. That's a completely different mindset than I'm gonna get here on time. And so with everything you do, whether it's film, whether it's class, whether it's how I approach myself on campus, am I preparing to be worthy of being a champion? Not even to be a champion, to be worthy of it. And what the preparation looks like for that. So not just being there and being on time, but being prepared to win that drill, to win that class, and then to do that, and then how to organize your time so that you're not just showing up right when it starts. And that's how you start to attack things. And so, very different mindset. Very different mindset. Difference between showing up and preparing to be a champion. And so, and I ask guys all the time, how you practice today, were you worthy of being a champion today? And if the answer is no, then we better change that. And that's how they got to approach class, and that's how they got to approach eating and preparing to eat and understanding I got to have food ready and understanding I need 5,000 or 6,000 calories. That's a different mindset than I'm hungry, I'm going to eat.
Got three more for you from MG. The third one is, how do you go about getting guys 1 through 15 to accept their roles, especially the guys who don't will not be in your rotation and on the court as much?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, first of all, like every coach comes into it with a plan. I have an understanding of where my roster's at, right? The higher levels, they have more experienced players. So they can, those puzzle pieces are already a little bit more formed. When you have younger players like we do, there's a lot more variance in what each piece is going to be able to accomplish. And so the biggest thing is first, like players got to learn, like, how do I take losing out of the equation? And losing is like bad shots, turnovers, fouling, not getting back on defense, not boxing out. Like those are losing things. Well, so how do we start to then prepare? We're not going to do those things anymore. Now we can start making shots. Now we can get great shots. Now we can protect the ball and make easy plays. So that's the biggest thing is like players got to learn to play with their strengths. Well, some of them don't know what their strengths are. They think it's one thing, but it's really another. That's where experience trumps talent at times. So you first got to get players to understand what their strengths are, then to play to their strengths, and then they got to understand how to work together. And so, there's been times where we've had a really talented player and he ends up out of the rotation because he was not playing well with others. And so we always say at Queens, we play offense for each other. Starts off with running the floor. We run the floor for each other. We cut for each other. We screen for each other. We get paint touches for each other. And then once you start playing with that spirit, then we can kind of figure out what your role is. And when you recruit a more experienced player, you have a much more solid idea of where their role is going to fit. And I also think there's an art to creating a roster where guys can fight and their roles can change a little. That's good. But also you don't want all experienced players because then they're not going to get what they want. And I think that can be toxic to the end of your bench. So I think there's a balance to having different ages and guys understanding that their roles are can change if they work and change their habits. But I do think all of it kind of has to go together, and it's never easy. And the teams that figure it out are usually the ones that win.
Spoken is in the world of NIL, how do you go about teaching student athletes about financial literacy? Because we have to pay taxes on our NIL money and we get a lot of money in our pockets. So, how do you go about teaching your players about managing money and balancing their books the right way so they don't go broke with the NIL money that we're receiving?
Taxes. We got to pay taxes. I think that there's a responsibility to, as we're in these young men's lives, and they're getting money for the first time. Basically, this is their first job. Think about it like that. So, and then the unfortunate part is a lot of times when you go get your first job at McDonald's, or I worked at a catering company and I washed dishes. Well, they took the taxes out for me. Okay. Well, these guys are technically 1099 miscellaneous employees. So they're independent contractors. So they don't have their taxes taken out. So you've got to hopefully set up a system for them where they put some 25% away. And then hopefully they can start their own LLC and they can start to write off certain expenses to lower their tax liability. And legally do that, right? And do it the responsible way. And so you got to have some educational forums for them where they're going to listen to different money managers and or tax accountants and or people that will help them start LLCs. that can help make sure that they do the right thing with the money. And, you know, obviously that's hard for some kids because they've never seen it. And but I think if you're doing the right thing, you're going to help your kids through this instead of kind of just ignore it and hope it takes care of itself. And very fortunate at Queens, we have a lot of engaged alumni who will give that advice and or consult for free, because they're trying to help those young men out.
The last one for you, G, that they asked, we want to ask you, ask Coach Leonard, what is his most fun part of his job that's non-basketball?
So the sweater thing has become unique. And so you say wardrobe, okay? That's what it is. But it's gotten so fun that companies are starting to try to reach out to sponsor the sweaters. And I have artists doing custom sweaters and designing them. And then we even have a class, an art class on campus who's going to do a contest design coach sweater. And the one that I pick, I'll wear for a game. And so this is unique stuff that really has nothing to do with coaching. Maybe a little bit of marketing, but really it's fun, right? Because I could just throw a blazer on and a pair of dress pants and go coach a game. But we've decided to embrace these holiday sweaters, these themed sweaters, to raise awareness and to have some fun. And it's become very, very unique, you know, and really enjoyed it. And so for us, we're going to keep the sweaters going, and then Buddy the Street Dog is going to have his own custom sweater this year, and so we're all going to get behind this, and hopefully the sweaters will bring some awareness to a few good things that will come out of it.
Well, gee, I hope you like my insurance 5 questions. I hope you like them.
Loved them, loved them.
Yes, gee. Well, gee, thank you for doing it, man. I really do. I know some of your colleagues turned me down. They didn't want to, they said, talk to me about the insurance. So I thank you for doing it, man. It allowed them to learn about talking to D1 coaches and learn about how to interview and learn about how to do this job behind the scenes. Because this part's easy. It's the part that you don't see is hard.
The setup, the scheduling, the understand it is a unique in its own. It's the same thing with coaching. Everyone thinks, hey, what do you do in off season? Do you just take off? Like, no. We've got to do a lot of different things, you know, to get to the season between scheduling, fundraising, marketing, philanthropy, community service, all of that, you know, gets going in the off season, and then you still have to build your roster and get them prepared for the season. So no, we don't get summers off, you know, and you don't just show up and do a broadcast. You got to plan questions, and you got to have lighting, and you got to send, you know, coaches cameras so we're not using our phones, and all sorts of fun stuff.
Yes, and also schedule with you all around your schedules, have relations with you all. That's why I went to Lake Point and the soup scene and tomorrow so I could network to get guests on the show. You know? So
Exactly.
it's all about that thing. And I told these young interns, G, that these 5 weeks you're with me, you'll learn more than you ever learn in your classes.
100%.
I'm doing it for real at a high level, and I'm a one-man show.
I know that that's true. Like you'll get more real experience through your internship and doing it than a lot of the stuff in class. You will. You'll learn some neat things in class, but the real stuff is when you got boots on the ground.
No doubt. But gee, man, thank you for all your time. Always, brother, I love you, man, and I'll see you soon, my guy.
I appreciate you, my guy. We'll talk soon.
All right, brother. Talk to you, buddy.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Let the King Out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.